Now and again in movies, there comes that all too classic moment when the person gets to the podium or the speech and they have worked hard on their script, and then something like a cosmic moment of clarity hits them. And they almost immediately pick up their notes, tear them up, and throw them in the air. Prone as I am to the dramatic, I won't tear up these notes. I'll just fold them and use them for another day. I want to tell you about a man who was the second rector of this church, Phillips Brooks. Phillips Brooks was, in many ways, no less literally, a giant in his time. When I was at Theological College in Oxford, trying to do my best to prepare for the ongoing onslaught of sermon after sermon after sermon, I came across an old book entitled On Preaching. It was written by Phillips Brooks. I thought this book was so important, so crucial for me, that I kept it. From parish to parish, from continent to continent, from South Dakota to Philadelphia, it traveled with me. So imagine my delight on the first day in office as rector here, when I was unpacking my books and I came across On Preaching by Phillips Brooks, second rector of the Church of the Holy Trinity, and it stands in all its deserved glory on my desk to this day. His book could be summed up in one phrase: truth through personality. You see, it was the commitment to this dictum, to this principle, that made people amazed at the teaching of Jesus. Matthew tells us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, unlike their scribes and teachers. He had authority because he spoke with authenticity. When people approached Jesus, they knew immediately who he was, that he was speaking for them, on their behalf, from God and to God. Truth through personality. And the time comes, my friends, when in the history of the divine engagement with us and the world, God's heart pounds so much to be understood that he realizes that truth comes through personality. No more prophets, no more scriptures, but a man. And every Christmas, you and I celebrate in one way or another this profound truth that we understand God as we look at the Christ child. In the personality of this child, we see the one who remains vulnerable, and with that we can identify. We see the one who is born in what we may politely call rather a mess. The straw is strewn about, the animals are making their noises, the smells there are befitting a stable. But this is the personality of God. to be present not only in great edifices with beautiful flowers and stunning choirs and organ music, but to be present in the mess of our lives. Phillips Brooks was shaped by the belief of 1 John, of John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh. He tried to shape his churches, he tried to shape the people whom he served, and he tried to shape himself and his message by this enormously powerful, overwhelming truth. God yearns to become flesh. And not only here, and by the anesthetic and cleanness of our crash scenes, we distance him. But this God, being born in a child, yearns to be born in you and me afresh today. We ignore it at our pain. We ignore it at our cost. Today we celebrate the Word becoming flesh. But maybe just as important it is for you and for me to be able to leave this church or leave this year or begin a new year with the conviction that God is being made flesh in our lives. And we will journey and journey and journey on till that truth and experience becomes established in our very being, in our hopes and our attitudes, in our joys and in our pains. Where shepherds lately knelt and kept the angel's word, I came in half belief, a pilgrim, strangely stirred, but there is room and welcome there for me. Can I, will I forget how love was born and burned its way into my heart? Unasked, unforced, unearned, to die to live and not alone for me. Let God be made flesh in our lives today. Amen.